Welcome to Strange Familiars Presents. If you don't already listen to our main podcast, Strange Familiars, check it out for longer stories, witness interviews, on-site recordings, legend tripping, and more on all things paranormal. Cryptids, ghosts, weird history, and more. Find us at strangefamiliars.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like what we do, please consider becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Pennsylvania is fraught with tales of witchcraft. From the earliest settlers up through today, the belief in witchcraft, or hexerei as it was known to the Pennsylvania Germans, has persisted. Not just in the remote regions, but right into our towns and cities. In the early 1900s in the city of York, Pennsylvania, there were still storefront powwow doctors, spiritual healers who would help people deal with anything from warts and rheumatism to removing curses placed on them by witches. The most famous tale of witchcraft in Pennsylvania is probably that of Nelson Raymeyer and the so-called Hex Murder, which we covered extensively in episode 1 of Strange Familiars, but witchcraft has made the news often in Pennsylvania. Our first story dates from the early 1880s. The Story of the Bewitched Girl. For the last 3 years, Stony Creek Valley has been excited on the subject of witchcraft, the alleged witch being an old or middle-aged woman living in that classic region named Boyer, who was charged with having bewitched a girl named Kildee. Mrs. Boyer is a reputable German woman, her husband being a hard-working man engaged on the railroad. Mr. Kildee, the father of the girl, is a decent, orderly man, rather intelligent, but who fully believed his daughter had been bewitched by Mrs. Boyer. He's not alone in his faith. Hundreds of other people also believe it. The faith of Mrs. Boyer's witchcraft rendering her an object of aversion. A chip peddler named McLean is the reputed witch doctor who lives in Fishing Creek Valley. The Boyers were at last compelled to prosecute McLean for having induced Kildee to believe that their daughter is really bewitched. The hearing of the case took place at Squire McAllister's, Fort Hunter, on Wednesday, the road in front of the office being crowded with people, and the office filled with excited believers in witchcraft. William Kildee, the father of the bewitched girl, known as an old river pilot called Squire, told the following story under oath. He said that 3 years ago my daughter took sick and I tried all the physicians in the neighborhood without getting any relief. He heard of a man in Harrisburg named Wolf who told him his daughter was bewitched. Miss Kildee's half-sister made a visit to Harrisburg to see Dr. Molson, and she said that he had shown her the face of the witch in water who had possession of her sister. And the face of the witch was Mrs. Boyer, stepmother of John Boyer, the prosecutor. Mr. Kildee then heard of Armstrong McLean, a Fishing Creek chip peddler, and he, Kildee, got Samuel Bell in the same valley to go with him to McLean's, who said my daughter was punished by the evil one. He said they could go home and he would lay the evil one, by which the girl would be relieved at the setting of the sun, and he would come over in the morning and give her some medicine. When Bell and Kildee got home, it was found that at the setting of the sun, the girl was relieved. McLean got to Kildee's the next morning and administered the medicine. After 3 visits, Kildee said she got well and continued well until this spring, a year ago, 1879. McLean got for his services $5. Again in 1879, the girl had another attack from the evil one. McLean was sent for and said when he examined the patient that she had the same trouble. To this, Kildee replied, John B. Black of Harrisburg, a schoolteacher in Stony Creek Valley, in the year 1879, had given her over to the wife of John Boyer, who was a stepson of a Mrs. Boyer, to kill her by witchcraft. McLean again gave her medicine, which took the spell off, and a second fee was paid. In January of this year, the girl again took the spells, when Mrs. Kildee went to McLean and got the medicine to help her. McLean then came over and said she had the same thing back, administering another dose of medicine, with the remark that if that did not do any good, he could not help her. Kildee believes she got this last attack in January, while on the road to a wedding, during which they had to pass Mrs. Boyer's house. Mrs. Boyer, discovering the party in the road, began to abuse them in Dutch, declaring that she would make them go for McLean again. That night, Mrs. Kildee took it again, and sure enough, McLean was caught again. In the course of his testimony before the squire, Kildee said, My daughter says that Mrs. Boyer came to her bed last night and said she had her now, and she would keep her. Squire McAllister appealed to the good sense of Mr. Kildee, asking whether he could be deluded by such stuff, when Kildee replied with solemn conviction, "Squire, I firmly believe that Mrs. Boyer is a witch, that she bewitched my daughter, and I have spent nearly all my means in the past 3 years to have her cured." Kildee also said that a young man who wanted to come home with his daughter from Sunday school and was refused, handed her over to Mrs. Boyer to be tortured. McLean admitted the visit and his practices, and Squire McAllister put him under $500 bail to answer at court. Here's another from the 1880s. A Family Bewitched, a remarkable story told by a farmer in Somerset County. Jesse Miller, a farmer living in Greenville Township, Somerset County, is ready to swear that his household is afflicted with a witch. Some time ago, he found a saddle hanging on a hook by the chimney. He had placed it on the banisters. This occurred 3 times, and every member of the family accused solemnly declared that they had not touched the saddle. Miller took it to the woodshed, and again it was displaced. He then removed the saddle to a sawmill and spiked it to a standard. It stays there. His wife was washing one day and stepped out of the apartment for a few minutes. Returning, she was amazed to find the articles, which she had left in the tub, thrown about over the floor. Miller was aroused one night by terrible screams in his front yard. He bounded out of bed and rushed out and found his daughter there alone. She had no knowledge of how she got there. Every window and door in the house was locked and bolted, as when the young lady went to bed. Twice since, she has been spirited out of the house in broad daylight, in presence of her mother and others. The spirit of darkness that exerts this influence over the young lady is invisible to all others. She describes the witch as resembling an old woman, with hoary locks, hairy face, and wearing a white cap. The Miller family is thoroughly terrified, as is also the entire community. Miller intends to leave the locality as soon as possible. Meanwhile, he has been in Myersdale in quest of a witch doctor to make the place tolerable for a short time yet at least. He is firm in his witch belief. Our next tale comes from the 1890s. A young Albertus woman who believes herself to be in the toils of an evil spirit. The days of witchcraft, or believers in witchcraft, which is the same thing, are not yet past, and to listen to a story of the doings of those uncanny creatures called witches is enough to make the hair of the most incredulous stand on end and throw out sparks of fire. The latest in this line comes from Albertus, where a pretty young lady, of irreproachable character, is suffering from what she firmly believes to be verhexerei. She alleges that whenever she ventures to go outdoors after dark, something resembling a large black cat follows her, and by reason of which she is always greatly terrorized. She has frequently taken her young brother along to see whether he could observe the same horrid object following her, and he too avers that on all such occasions the strange apparition followed close to their footsteps, and that in each instance they together fled terror-stricken to their home. The lady began to be haunted by this strange object months ago, and the influences the strange occurrences have brought to bear upon her soon began to rob her of sleep and rest. She at the same time lost her appetite and began to lose flesh, all of which terrible experiences were greatly aggravated one morning recently when she discovered that during the night some of her dresses had been torn into shreds. They had been hanging on hooks in her bedroom and were all right when she retired the evening before. How or in what manner they were torn cannot be explained, except that the hex did it. In order to save her other dresses, she removed them to the home of her intended, where they are now stored for safekeeping. The young lady is sure that the witch resides in the near neighborhood, and she has now about decided that if she is not soon able to throw off the evil influence, she will be obliged to go away from home. The neighborhood is much excited over the matter, and for the present, the hexerei story is the sole talk in that section. A month later, another article updates the situation and provides more details. Still troubled by malignant spirits, the Albertus hex continues to exercise her evil influences. The Albertus hex evidently continues her business at the old stand, though in a somewhat subdued manner. The young lady who for many weeks suffered so severely from the evil influences brought to bear upon her by an alleged witch living in the neighborhood, and who finally, to break the spell under which she was held, left her home and took up her residence with the family of her intended for 9 days, returned home after the time was up. But the black cat came back and is still about, and always at her heels, whenever she goes out of the house after dark. She knows that there are many unbelievers of the art of witchcraft, and only hopes that they may never know what it is to be similarly tormented. The cat that now appears in her tracks is a fence high, and provided with a tail as long as a fence rail, but seemingly headless, a most hideous object. It follows in her steps wherever she goes after night, and usually parades about the premises until after midnight, when it disappears as mysteriously as it comes. Most of the parents living in the neighborhood of the supposed witch, or hex as the Germans have it, are fearful of the influences of the suspected woman, and as a consequence restrain their children from going out of doors except under close guardianship. If a little innocent gets unwell, as is sometimes the case, and acts a little queer, as children will sometimes do, the parents are at once seized with the fear that the hex has brought it under her evil influence. So strong is the belief in this hexerei business that the alleged witch is regarded with terror by everybody in the community, and as a consequence of which horseshoes have grown in great demand for nailing over the doors of entrances to dwellings, it being a popular belief that they have the power to cast off all danger to person and property. So greatly has the community become seized with terror that some are actually afraid to venture out of doors after nightfall. Our last story takes us into the 20th century and finds a family bewitched in Lebanon County. Richland family seeks aid of law to drive out spirits. Hexerei blamed for frantic actions of mother, daughter, and granddaughter. Neighbors pronounce it a sad case and are anxious for peace and quiet in neighborhood. Hexerei has made its appearance in Lebanon County again, following a restful absence for some years. District Attorney Ray G. Light has been asked for legal and police assistance to drive it out. Residents of Richland this afternoon appeared at the District Attorney's office and declared that they have been kept from sleep for more than 10 days by the unearthly yells and wailing of three women, a grandmother, her daughter, and the latter's daughter, who declare they are bewitched. The youngest of the trio has been ill for a long time, suffering from some nervous disorder, which neighbors say started physically and then apparently developed mental complications. Her mother is reported to be separated from her husband, who lives in Berks County, and his absence is believed to have undermined her mental balance, judging by her actions. She is said to rave and indulge in hysterical actions which keep neighbors awake for hours at a time at night. Neighbors say she asserts that she has been bewitched, but that the perpetrator of the supposed witchcraft is unknown. At night she fancies someone is after her, and she shrieks and wails in frights and terrible mental agony. It is reported that her incantations to frighten off the witches, and her wails and mental disturbances generally, are the cause of her daughter's disability. The oldest woman apparently keeps house, but shows signs of being affected by her present environment. Neighbors did their utmost to help and went so far as to procure a nurse for the girl. But the nurse is said to have been driven out of the house the third day she was there, and since then the disturbance at the house is represented as being worse than ever. It is admittedly a sad case, and neighbors and other townspeople are willing to help, but they say they have not been permitted a full night's rest in 10 days, and now the authorities have been asked to show legal ways and means of caring for the family and giving the neighborhood the peace and quiet to which the citizens are entitled. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Music, books, art, podcasts, and more. DarkHollerArts.com.